Kings chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4, and this is a surprise. The bulletin has next week's message listed in it. I thought I'd change that for sure, but it's 2 Kings chapter 4, so if you're looking at the bulletin, look at me instead. We're going to look at a woman this morning, and I'll just give you the Bible description of her. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 8, she was a great woman. A great woman. Later on, she has a son, and her son dies. And when he gets sick, father says in verse 19, carry him to his mother. So you can see why this would be a good message for Mother's Day. By the way, do you have a mansion in heaven? Wow, it was quiet. We might need to have an invitation here real quick. Hope you have a mansion in heaven. Amen? Amen. The Bible said that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been preparing that place now for some 2,000 years. It ought to be pretty nice. Amen? And He loves us. He died on the cross for our sins, and He gave us a mother. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read bits and pieces of this, so try to be ready to jump around just a little bit. It's a long story, and I can't read all of it. So we'll begin in verse 8, and then we'll kind of take it from there. The Bible says in 2 Kings 4, 8, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on a bed on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And we'll go back down to verse 30, if you would, please. Verse 30, 2 Kings 4, 30. The mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. And then let's skip down, if we could, in verse 33. He went in there for and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times And the child opened his eyes. Let's have a word of prayer if we could. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. I pray that you'd help us to use it wisely this morning. I pray that most of all the Holy Spirit would use it according to your will. Help folks here to see the message you have for them. We thank you for the mothers that you have given us, for their care for us, for the instruction that they give us, for the example that they give us. Lord, I pray this morning that you would just bless each of the mothers that are here, and I pray especially that every one of them would know what it means to have a mansion in heaven and to step into eternity one day to be united with you and with their family if they're saved. And I pray that you'd also bless those that are visiting with us today and encourage them. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Elisha was a great man of God. He did many miracles. He divided the waters of Jordan. He healed the waters that were bitter. Some children were mocking him one time because of his gray head or his bald head, and a bear came and tore them up. I don't think he did that. God did that. He supplied water. He multiplied the widow's oil. Many other miracles he did. There are at least 12 or 13 that are named in the Bible. But this eighth miracle, and maybe the ninth if you consider the birth of the child, was the raising of a dead child. A mother that knew to go to the man of God with her dead child, and he raised this child up. This Shunammite woman, by the way, Shunam is a place. It's located about as far from Nazareth as downtown Phoenix would be from where we're located. It was about, 10 or 15 miles southeast of Nazareth. It's in the area near the Galilee. And Shunam is the place that this woman gets her name from. We never hear her name directly, but we know where she's from. And we know something else about her. She's a good mother. She did what was right. Aren't you glad God gave you the mother that did right? Amen? And I cannot necessarily say that I had the best example for a mother, but I can say this. God used the situation in my family to bring me to Christ. And that's what matters the most. Amen? And I just praise the Lord that he did that. He didn't have to, but he loved us, and he gave us the situation that we have. And you can credit your mother for many of the blessings you have in your life. What makes a great mother? Now, that word great there in verse 8 is actually used about 900 times in the Bible. And most of the time, guess what it means? Great. We use it as the word excellent quite a bit of the time. It had something to do with another fact about her, but she was an excellent mother. And that's what I want to dwell on today is her excellence, her greatness as a mother. What would it take to make a great mother? I would think, for example, like we just read in Proverbs 31, a great mother should teach her children both by example and also by reading to them. But a great mother should teach her children to love the Lord. Amen? A great mother should pray for her children. A great mother should raise her children up so that when they are grown, they can say, when I was a child, I had an example of how to live for God. A great mother should have her children in church. Amen? By the way, a great father ought to as well. A great mother ought to be the kind that would be praying for and with her children and loving them and caring for them as the Lord instructed. And Proverbs 31 talks about that. We've read that already this morning. But this woman, let me show you some things that made her great. And let's begin by talking about her character just a little bit. And there's more here than I have time to show you, so I kind of pick and choose from my points. But look at verse 8 again, and let's just look at her generosity. The man of God, Elisha, was traveling through the area, and in verse 8, the Bible says, she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. I think she was a good cook. But it's not just that. She was willing to take what she had and be a blessing to other people. You want to know one of the things that will destroy your life and keep you from being used by God quicker than anything else is selfishness. God can meet our needs, can he not? And if in your life, if you'll remember that like this woman, when she saw the man of God come by and she didn't know who he was at first, And she said, you know, here's a person that we can be kind to. We can meet their needs. Come in and we will feed you. There was a generosity about her. Gentlemen, if you're looking for the woman to marry, marry a woman who has a generous spirit. A woman who's thinking about others and not just herself all the time. And those of us that have had mothers that were like that understand the value of that. Her perception in verse 9 was also great. She says in verse 9, I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. In verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee. You've probably heard the phrase prophet's chamber. Sometimes I have missionaries coming through the area and they'll call me and they'll say, do you have a prophet's chamber? And I tell them, no, our church does not have one, but come stay at my house if you want. But many churches will have a place set aside with maybe a living room and a restroom and a kitchen for missionaries or people like that to come and stay in. It's called a prophet's chamber. It comes from this passage right here. You may not remember the Shunammite woman, but that's a prophet's chamber that she set up, and that's what people still do today. She was hospitable. She cared about other people. Let me tell you something. When you care about other people and you take care of them, God will take care of you. Amen. And this is what this woman was like. She was generous. She was perceptive. She had hospitality. And so now come down to verse 13. Now, I get the impression there must be some interpretation going on here because apparently Elisha is talking to Gehazi, his servant, and then Gehazi is talking to the Shunammite woman. I don't know why that's the way things are done, but at any rate, Gehazi is kind of the middleman here. And Elisha says, through Gehazi, talking to the Shunammite woman, you have been good to us. What would you like to be done for you? Now, Elisha was a very powerful man. He had the ear of the king. He had, more important than that, he had the ear of God. Amen? And he says, there's some things we could do for you. He said, you know what we could do for you if you'd like? He says, we could speak to the king for you and we could gain some favor from the king for you. There's a picture there. Do you understand something? Mothers, first of all, you want to be a godly mother, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? And then listen to me. If you are a born-again mother, you have the ear of the king, don't you? God himself listens to your prayers. I've heard story after story after story of people who had their mother praying for them and it changed their life. I may have told you this story before, but most of you might not have heard it or remember it. There was a missionary to Papua New Guinea. His name was Rick Crotts. And Rick Crotts, when he was a teenager over there, he said he hated the place. He just wanted out of there. And he said, but his mother kept praying for him and praying for him and praying for him. And he had a rebellious spirit. And when he turned 18, he left New Guinea as quick as he could and came back to the States. And his mother prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. Do you know what happened to him? He became a missionary to New Guinea. You say, well, that'd be terrible, Pastor. No, that's the best thing in the world. Amen? Yeah. My prayer has always been that God would use my children. And I still pray that way. And that would be the greatest thing, to know that your children are being used by God. Anybody can be a doctor or a lawyer or make money. But it's not just anybody that can serve the King of Kings and step into eternity and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This woman had great character. She had generosity, perception, hospitality, selflessness. But there's one thing she didn't have. She didn't yet have a child. Now, let's speak to the mothers for a moment. And you know, I don't even need to say this. If you're a mother, you understand this. A child is a gift from God. I don't want to get too dark. I want to be happy on Mother's Day. It's a good day to be happy. But I must mention, it is horrible. It is terrible. It is beyond description how bad it is that a mother would have a child on the way and choose to kill it. And it happens millions of times in our nation. I forgot the exact number. Don't need to know right now, but it's in the millions of times that has happened. Folks, God gave children as a gift. When I was born in 1957, my mother didn't want me, and so she gave me up for adoption. Nowadays, she would have just had me terminated and that'd be the end of it. I'm standing here as a picture of the change of times, because if I had been conceived a few decades later, I'd never have lived. It's sad that our nation has come to the point to where, oh, and by the way, if someone stands up and defends that wickedness, for example, Georgia just passed a law that says if a baby has a heartbeat that they cannot abort the baby, praise the Lord. And then some wicked actor or wicked actress says, well, we're not going to perform there. Good, stay out of there. We don't need your kind there anyway. You know, what we need is some godly people. Go spend your money in Georgia, amen? They want to punish Georgia for doing the godly thing. God will punish them one day, and I don't want to get too dark here, but that's the way it works. A child is a gift from God. And those of us that have children, we know that. That was my daughter singing just now. Do you know what a blessing that is to have your daughter sing in church? And my other daughter, got married a week ago yesterday. She's in Maryland playing the piano in church. Praise the Lord. And I pray that all my children would be serving God and faithful to God. My son, Tim, is going to be moving here next month. And I think if he doesn't get a job, he will be here for a while this summer. You'll get to meet him. And he was a great bus worker in Maryland. He's a fine young man, spent 6 years in the Navy, spent four more in college in Washington. He's coming back to get a job now. He's graduating. And my biggest prayer for him is not that he gets a good job, but that he finds a good church and a good godly wife. Amen. Children are a gift from God. She knew that. Her character was such that she realized that. Now, look at her confidence in God. We've talked about her character, but mothers need to have confidence in God. Mothers, God can do some things for your children that you can't do. You can ask him to, but only he can do these things. We see that very clearly in this passage. In verse 21, look down there in verse 21 if you would. I read you the passage there in verse 19 where the child was in the field and he got a tremendous headache. And his father said, carry him to his mother in verse 19. And in verse 20, she took him. He sat on her knees and he died. And now what's she going to do? The first thing she decided to do, go find the man of God. Because folks, sometimes we can't help, but God can. In fact, most of the time we can't help, but God can. That doesn't take away our responsibility. It adds to it. Our responsibility is not just to do what we can. Mothers, your responsibility is also to go to God on behalf of your children. Now, in the Old Testament, things weren't quite the way they are now. In the New Testament, the Bible says in Hebrews 4, you can go straight to the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of your children. But in the Old Testament, we had prophets and we had priests, and they had a different situation back then. And so she said, I know who can help. And she didn't go to a psychologist. She didn't go to the doctor. She didn't go to the local whatever. She went to God. And she went to God through Elisha, the man of God. And she says in verse 22, she called her husband. She said, I need two things. I need one of the young men and one of the asses, and I'm going to go to the man of God. And I have to ask the question, and you can figure this out for yourself later, but why didn't she send her husband? Well, you know, I've heard the saying, if you want something done right, do it yourself. I'm not trying to talk bad about husbands, amen? But I will tell you this, she wouldn't trust anybody with her responsibility, would she? When I was growing up, sadly, I guess I was too young to know, but I spent a great deal of time with babysitters and childcare and that sort of thing. But folks, it's a mother's job to raise that child, amen? And they need to be with those children. And my wife and I were sitting around yesterday. Our children have all moved out of the house. Don't get jealous too quick. And they've all moved out of the house. We're talking about all the free time we have now, but not that we wouldn't rather have them there. We love having our children around. But there will be a day when your children will be gone and you can't do the things you can do now. You can always make money. You can always have more. You can't always have your children in the house. And I've told you this before, and I don't get tired of saying it. I've got some pictures of my children when they were little, when they were 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. I'd give just about anything to go back and spend an hour with them at that age. I can't do that. They've grown up. Hear me. While they're young, spend time with them. When they're teenagers, spend lots of time with them. And then when they go off, You won't be able to do that anymore. She was not going to pass this responsibility off to anybody, not even her husband. She took responsibility for that child. Amen? And that's a good thing. And we'll just keep going from there. So she said in verse 23, look at this. This is good. It shall be well. What's she saying? She had confidence in God. If you look in the Bible, there are a lot of times when children can get out of place for a while. We have the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son who went away. He came back, didn't he? We have Jacob with his sons. Joseph, he thought Joseph was dead. And other sons of his that temporarily were seemingly gone. But folks, when God has charge of your children, they're safe. It shall be well. I'll tell you this, mothers, if you will keep your child's name in before God in prayer and be faithful, it shall be well. Say, Pastor, right now it doesn't look too good. Keep on praying. God can do great things. Amen? The prayers of this mother saved his life. She took off on this animal, and she says, drive and go in verse 24. She comes to Gehazi in verse 26, and she won't even tell him what's going on. She wants to talk to Elisha. And so she goes to Elisha, and I can't tell you the whole story, but Elisha does some things from afar, but she says, no, you need to come back to the child himself, and you need to be there with him. And the thought there is this, she knew she needed to get the child back to God. So you have this mother's great character, her generosity, her hospitality, and so on. You have her confidence, this great confidence, that if she would bring it to God, it would be okay. And now lastly, we have this mother's great consolation. And let's begin reading, if we could, in verse 28. And I'll read a little bit more here. Be patient with me, if you would, please. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Talking to Elisha about the fact that she didn't have a son, and now she did. He said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, that's Elisha, and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. When Elisha was come into the house, verse 32, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. He stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. You say, Pastor, there's a lot of details there. What do they all mean? I don't know. I don't know why he sneezed 7 times. The Bible doesn't say so. And when the Bible is silent, I will be also. But I know this. The child rose from the dead. Amen? That's a miracle. Look at the next verse in verse 36. He called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and looked up at her son and went out. It's a happy ending, isn't it? Can God do that today? Perhaps someone here has a child and they're not walking with the Lord. Maybe someone here has a child that's not saved. I don't see anywhere where this mother was willing to give up. If you're a mother and you have a child and that child's not where it ought to be, don't give up. If you have a child, the child's not saved, don't give up. And God gave consolation in the end and raised a child from the dead. Most of us don't have that bad of a problem, but I will say this. If you have a child that's not walking with the Lord, don't give up. I suspect many of us here have a testimony that could parallel mine in some ways. I went to to the high school in a little town in West Texas, and we went to church every Sunday, and my parents had me in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, all the way through high school. But when I got into college, I got backslidden for a few years. Saved, but backslidden. Not recommended, but it's possible. And God worked in my life. And God did something that nobody else could have done. And he got my attention through the Word of God. And before I turned 30, I was back in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And then I became a bus captain. And then I became a Sunday school teacher. And then I became a deacon. And then I became a children's club worker. And that's neither here nor there. God did all of that. Folks, God can do a great work in the life of your child. Don't give up. Amen? It all starts, being a godly mother starts with knowing Christ as your Savior. And then obeying God and being faithful day by day for as long as that child lives, praying for him. Let's all stand and pray if you would, please.